All right, welcome in, folks, to the Can't Wait Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host, Mike, along with Chuck here.
What's up, brother?
Long time no see, man. We have not podcasted in, I don't even know how long it's been. 2 or 3 months, Jesus.
It's probably been 6 to 8 weeks, yeah. It's August, maybe?
Yeah.
We're mid-October.
It's been a nice sabbatical. There's been a lot of stuff going on. You've been on the road. I don't know how you've been gone that long. It's amazing.
Yeah, we were a couple travels in August, but then pretty much the entire month of September, from September 2nd through October 1st, was only home 2 days. So traversed the entire U.S. I was in California, Arizona, Texas for 2 days, Connecticut, upstate New York, Manhattan, New Jersey, and North Carolina. So, yeah, it's been quite a whirlwind, seeing some concerts, doing some surfing, working, seeing friends, family.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a good time. And then, being back in October, I went to Baton Rouge last week for work, so yeah. I was home for a week and then back on the road for a week. I was supposed to go to Baton Rouge this week and Arizona the next, but both were canceled, so it's kind of nice.
Jeez.
But,
it's a wanderer. Chuck's a wanderer now. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the California lifestyle and time zone, but...
Yeah, you get to knock off a little bit early. Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah, it's nice when you're working out there from 5 a.m. to 2.
Yeah.
Then you get to go surfing and, you know, so got to surf Trestles, which is a really cool place to surf, like in Orange County. The weekend before we were there, they had the WSL surfing event at the like same ways we were surfing, which was cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so I could
move out
there.
Saw a ton of concerts too. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw Post Malone a couple times. We saw like some local band in Wilmington, North Carolina. We were out there. That was pretty good. At a brewery. And then since we've been back, we saw the Ava Brothers last weekend in Houston, which we've seen like 5 or 6 times. Blanca's probably seen them more. Yeah. And then, you know, so check out the music scene. I've been kind of expanding my horizons on music. I wanted to see a band last weekend when the Ava Brothers were here. There was a band called Crumb.
Yeah.
Crumb. They're fucking awesome. Like, I don't know. I kept getting ads for White Oak Music Hall and they were there. So I just started listening to like an Apple Music, and like that's all I've been playing in my car like the last like 3 or 4 days. I'm like, man, I wish I went to their concert. But they were like some indie band, and they were like some magazines like 2019 Indie Band of the Year. And I'm like, I was like, I was doing a lot of research on them. I'm like, oh, these guys are good.
Yeah.
But it's kind of mellowy, trippy indie rock, so it's
yeah, I pulled it up on iTunes myself, and it was pretty good. Yeah,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see
a couple songs. Yeah, but yeah, what have you guys been up to?
I was working. You know, Jackie's opening a new restaurant. I've just been working at work and trying to keep up. I got a concert myself on Wednesday, seeing Electric Light Orchestra, and super pumped about that. So. Yeah.
Nice. ELO, baby.
Yeah. So me and my dad are going to see that. Looking but not a whole lot going on around here, man. You've had the highlight for the last couple weeks. So other than that, I've been taking in football, man. Alabama beating Georgia, and then Alabama shit the bed against Vanderbilt, which was hilarious to some degree. My parents don't listen to the podcast, so I can laugh about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I've been checking out really on TV. I mean, I caught up a lot on some stuff on travels that we'll talk about too on TV. But yeah, a lot of college football, some baseball, some footy. You know, Premier League season's kicked off, and
it's hot sports season right now.
Yeah, it's a good time. MLB playoffs, college football, college basketball is going to start soon.
Yep.
Yeah, so good times all around. Football,
Definitely.
NFL, English football. You know, it's on the TV. So
Yeah. It's entertaining. It's on the TV, and I like to watch it. So yeah, Rangers are back in action now.
Hockey, yeah. Hockey is
Hockey, baby.
a
Yeah.
weekend, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So
They're playing tonight. So yeah, there's a lot going on, man. There's a lot of TV. I've been trying to catch up while you've been out and while we've been taking the sabbatical, because I mean, there's so much stuff that I haven't watched, and there's a bunch of small watches, right, that I've been watching that I don't think you've been
yeah.
watching. I've been Only Murders in the Building is back, and I've got some qualms about that season, but it's too meta for me. The new season of the reboot Frasier is back, which is pretty funny. It's just
Yeah.
nostalgic. And then I've been watching You, YOU on Netflix with I can't remember the guy's name. I think Penn Bagley. I can't remember. But he's like a stalker, murderer guy who like dates these girls and then like consumes their
Yeah.
life. It's a really good show. It's crazy, but it's really
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. Just haven't got around to watching it. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix and there's four seasons. I think they just announced the final season should be coming out probably next year. But yeah, it's something that I, skipped over in the past, but I'm picking back up on it now. But
Yeah.
you got any small watches you're on?
You know, I really haven't been watching too much besides, like, I was on a lot of planes, so I watched Interstellar. It's back on United, by the way, so I
Classic.
put that on a bunch.
It is time for a rewatch. Yeah.
And United has some golf instructional videos on their flight as well, so I was watching a few of those, and then some Family Guy episodes and stuff. They're like, I've tried. I haven't watched like the last few seasons of Simpsons and Family Guy and stuff, but I've watched the first couple Simpsons from this season, and then there's a new show. It's called like Universal Income Boys or something like that. That's also an animation domination, like with Bob's Burgers and Family Guy. And it's like about these like guys in Philly that get like universal income or something. And we were at Saratoga Springs, New York, and one episode came on Sunday night or in the hotel, and it was hilarious. Like, I
Oh
haven't seen
shit.
it since, but it's like part of the Fox Sunday animation domination. Like, it was funny. It was just
I'll have to
like
give that a watch.
Philly. You know, it's like, Family Guy is very regional to like the Northeast, like Boston, New England area. And then this, whatever, I think it's called Universal Income Boys. It's like Philadelphia, and it's like it's good. I don't
It's
know
an
who the creator.
animated version of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's what I would kind of that's kind of what I was thinking. But
Yeah, I'll have to give that a check,
yeah,
because I do like those adult
oh,
animated comedies.
Universal Basic Guys.
Universal Basic
So
Guys.
it's a centers on two brothers, Mark and Hank Hoagies, who lose their job to automation and are given $3,000 a month and a new basic income program. So yeah, it's, and on Roddy T's, it's like 20%.
It's
Well,
probably
and
what Family Guy was when it first came out, so it's probably pretty good.
yeah, it's like Family Guy. Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like Hank Hill, and
Oh
then
yeah.
which or what was that show called?
King of the Hill, yeah.
King of the Hill. But it's kind of like along some of those same lines. You know, it's in that vein.
Nice.
But yeah, I think that a couple of the animated shows, and then I don't really think watch too much anything else, but like the stuff we're gonna talk about
Yeah.
here. And kind of, I've kind of played catch up finishing shows. I feel like there are some shows that I finished during our podcast hiatus that we're probably not even remembering.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Maybe like something. House of the Dragon and The Bear. I'm not sure we even like finished talking about
I don't
about
know if
those,
we closed out House of the Dragon. I think it was a nice hot course of nothing.
Yeah. I don't think we need to close that out. Close itself out.
Yeah. But yeah, we've got some main courses, right? Some shows with some meat on them going on right now, and I think they're for me kind of surprising. I'm going to start with industry, to be honest with you.
Yeah, let's talk about that first, because
yeah, that show, you've been bragging about that show for the last 4 or 3 years. I don't know. It's post COVID.
Yeah.
That show's wild. You know, it's Succession type TV show. I mean, the writing is amazing. I just finished the second season. And I just finished it. We're catching up late. I know the third season just like wrapped up, but that show was so great with like the woman that plays Harper, and then Eric Tao. Just the cast is unbelievable. I mean, it's literally like you almost took some of the writers from Succession and plugged it into like a UK like bank TV show. It's so good. I'm gonna get your take on the third season, but I love it. Yeah. I can't get enough of it.
No, I think I just finished the third season last week or a couple weeks ago. And the first season came out in 2020, and it was really good. It was almost like a young career drama, right? I mean, it's basically follows a group of like new hires that, and it's very true, you know, so the two guys that wrote it came from investment banking, and Blanca came from that world, and it was very similar when she worked in investment banking in London, similar kind of thing, how they got hired and all these interviews, like similar thing of working like 18, 20 hours and sleeping under desks and
work hard, play hard.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know if there's any toots magoots, like, you know, from there, but like, it's a very intense environment, and it follows like more along the lines of the younger people in the first season. One of the young hires, you know, dies. And then
that's like the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really like, and then with the writing, I argue that it's almost better than Succession, because I think the show for me is better than Succession, at least through three seasons. What was Succession? 4, 5 total?
Yeah, 5, I think. Yeah. 4.
So I don't know where 4 and 5 are going to go, because we're not going to spoil anything of season 3 yet.
Yeah.
3 yet, because you got to watch it, but it gets better each season. And like,
yeah,
I mean, I think 2 was better than 1, and I think 3 is better than 2, but I think they're all 3 seasons are super high level TV.
Yeah.
And I think the writing is just so brilliant. I think people may not understand that world.
No.
Which most of us don't.
But I don't understand half the shit they're talking about. Yeah.
But we understand intense drama and like workplace dynamics. What the stakes are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like kind of the conniving and the backstabbing and but it's a great show, and it's very like, I think, you know, because another show we're going to talk about too is a British TV show. An industry first releases in the US, you know, before it comes out in the UK. But it's also got a lot of UK actors and UK writers. I mean, it's filmed in the UK, but it's like main releases on HBO in the US. You know, I think this year for us, it's been a theme of British shows and Japanese shows.
Yeah.
And I think they're like the clear winners as we go through this the years of TV.
Definitely. Yeah, industry, I you know, I love Succession because it's like upper class drama, like shit I can never relate to. Yeah. But industry, I mean, I'm, you know, into my career. I like to think I'm like early in my career, but like I started working like 15 years ago and I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, I can remember pulling like 18 hour days and just selling your soul to the company, man. Right. And then just seeing people fall out of like belief of that, like Gus does. Like,
yeah. And I've been working 24 years now. So like you get into this and you're like, you know, in the third season, especially you see Eric and then Bill, who's like the American that's like head of the thing. They're lifers in that company and they're, you know, they're trying to cope with, you know, kind of the ending of their career, which they spent both of them, their whole careers is at Pierpoint, the company and the show. So it's very relevant in the emotions of, you know, the career trajectories and dealing with dynamics of people at work and then different diverse backgrounds. Cause you got, you know, people, Yasmin born into money, never had to worry, and Harper and Robert who've had to hustle like their whole life, everything. And they'll never be in the same class. And there's a season three is there's when you watch, when you finish that, you'll see that even more. But season three's got Kit Harington, and he just does a fantastic job. And to hear him in like his British, like he does this whiny British royal like family voice, and it's what, like, you know, like I can't even do it. It's like it's just great. Such a good show.
So good. I do have to mention, you know, Jay Duplass plays a hedge fund guy in it, right? And he's amazing. Like, he's only in, what, season two? He steals the scene every time he's in it for me. I can't, you know, anytime he walks in the room, it's the guy I'm looking at because he's about to pop off. He's so eccentric.
Yeah.
But with his white fucking neo-skunk shit going on, it's so funny. But
no, he's great because he also, what's really great about each of the seasons is like season two was like post return to work from COVID. And Harper is like the only one not back and she's working from a hotel. And then, it reflects the actual things of the times and where like, Jay Duplass's character was, you know, in on GameStop. You know, I mentioned that, and you know, like in the meme stock, you know, making money off of shorting meme stocks and stuff like that, or you know, and making like he was kind of anti-hedge fund, right? So and in season three, I won't give anything away, but like the focus has become ESGs, which is environmentally sustainable. You know, so like how investors are more environmentally conscious, like, you know, looking at that. So, but then it's the you know, I won't spoil anything, but it's funny how they deal with that. And so that's a big crux in the season. So it's all relevant and they keep it in the very here and now, you know?
Yeah.
Even though I think season two and three, there's like a little time jump of like a year or two, but you know,
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
But yeah, it's very relevant to, you know, it's set in like our current landscape.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Highly recommend to anybody.
Yeah, definitely. And I like how it's not based in New York and they basically are like, New York is like fucking dead because there's no new money in New York. Like it's not the stock trading like capital of the world anymore. And I love that because it's all like I've known growing up and it's not the case anymore.
Yeah, we're so American centric in our country that, you know, I think people don't understand that we operate in a global economy and a global ecosystem. Yep. And there's, you know, like you can't just be nationalistic in regards to business and the economy, because that's not how the world works. But
yeah, no,
you know, it's we tend to be very America is the universe over here, when it's you know, a small speck in the entire, you know, ecosystem. But and that's what's good about, you know, these shows, and then just remind you that there's other stuff outside of where we're at. So
yeah, there's a lot more going on. But that's anything else on industry?
No, I think I can't wait till you finish season three, and we'll do a recap. We'll do a complete we'll do a complete recap of that show. Because it's fucking bonkers, and season three is insane. It really ratchets it up a notch, and you'll know what I'm talking about if you finish it. So
yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, no, but I think we should segue into the next British show that just wrapped up, right? So
that's what I'm thinking. Let's stick to the islands, right? And let's go Slough House.
Yeah, let's go over to Slough House and then to the Pock.
Yeah.
Season three, four? Season four of Slough Horses?
Yep, four. Yep.
Probably the weakest season of them all, but still great.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I'll never stop watching it. Jackson Lamb, Gary Oldman's character, brilliant. And it looks like from the coming on next season that Jackson Lamb may finally get some due.
Yep.
I think, and there's talking about he's the best agent we have, or so I think Tavenna. Kristen Scott's character, Kristen Scott Thomas,
more experience in the entire building combined.
But yeah, this season focused on like kind of what they call cold bodies. Like, I guess like
fake identities used by spies.
And it kind of starts with a bombing at a shopping center in London. And Jonathan Pryce was a heavy focus this season as David Cartwright, who's losing his mind, or like, you know,
dementia,
Alzheimer's and dementia.
Which, great actor, by the way. Yeah.
He's amazing. I wish I had discovered him earlier, because I mean, Game of Thrones and Slough Horses.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes this show so good is the acting, especially from, I mean, with even Jack Loudon is good, but like Kristen Scott Thomas, Gary Oldman, Jonathan Pryce, the rest of the actors can be like mediocre, because they just get elevated. I think I think it was a good season. I think you know, there was a interesting side plot, or kind of how it developed, of finding out that River Cartwright's father was I forget his name in the show, American mercenary who was breeding his own brand of breeding his own children of assassins in France.
Yeah.
Les Miserables, or I forget the name of the
compound
in France.
I almost said Le Berge, but that's a casino.
It was Le Berge. Le Berge in Lake Charles. Lake Charles, France.
It was a good season in that, like, you think it all has to do with like a terrorist attack, but in reality, you know, it's along the lines of like homegrown mercenaries, but nothing as the mercenaries intended. I mean, obviously they were being paid by somebody else, but it having far reaching implications with the Cartwright family and Jackson Lamb just trying to get, there's so much history with these characters that, trying to draw it out. I want to see more like Jackson Lamb history. Like, I get Cartwright's like history with like paying this guy off and all this stuff to get his daughter back. But you know, Jackson Lamb killing the former first desk of MI5, Like, I want more of that. I want more Cloak and Dagger shit like that. But
well,
nothing wrong with this season. It was a good season. It's just the weakest of them all. But Hugo Weaving was great as his character. You know, he was the guy from The Matrix.
Yeah. But yeah, Hugo Weaving from The Matrix.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great. And I mean, I think it just like I said, going back to Jackson Lamb, like, do we still even know, like, why he's at Slough House? I mean,
no.
How he got into the service, we see some more connections now. I mean, each season that you learn more, like, he worked for David Cartwright, and what was the, and then he killed Charles Partner, right? You know, the former first desk or whatever he was that Standish worked for. I mean, we know bits and pieces of what he's done, and he's been like this insane MI5 agent. But yeah, we don't know what he did, you know, to get moved to Slough House.
Yeah. They just put him out to pasture and then put him in charge of the rejects. Like,
yeah.
Did he fuck up? Like, yeah, like, I would love to see a flashback to him as a younger guy, because you know, he kicked some ass this season. Like, he ran over that dude in the cab, and then he like that guy that was in
the Slough, Terminator,
whipped his ass. Yeah, sure, yeah, or the blonde guy from Die Hard who just won't die. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was kicking some ass this season. I'd like to see more of that. But yeah, the guy who took over for first desk, who, like, Taverner reports to, the guy's a wanker.
Yeah, and he's big into the prossies over there on the... yeah, it was a weird transition for him because he was very tentative and trying to... You know, it's kind of like... You know, he was going to clean up the secrets and the corruption inside. And then, of course, the first sign of, like, oh shit, this is what we do. Then he's like, okay, we got to bury it in a concrete box.
Let's cover it all up.
poor Gilly. Gilly's going to get annihilated.
Yeah, she's going to get popped. Yeah, she knows way too much. Yeah. Which I thought that was going to happen when Taverner had her isolated. I was like, oh, this chick is going to be found. Like, oh, she hung herself. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't finish that off. But yeah, I think the only, besides the bad guys, we had Marcus die. So we kind of saw that kind of the writing on the wall there, but
I do like the guy that wore the hoodie who, like, rarely talked.
Yeah,
like
Coke.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal was, but like I did like him because, like, he shot that guy at the end after telling what's her name not to, and he was like, bop bop. He was like, I'll fucking do it. Yeah,
well, because, like, you finally in the last episode reveal that you get the reveal that he was like psyops or like was around psychology and stuff, and he was like, he loves you, he's trying to project his shortcomings. Like, I mean, he pegged everything, and then I think that's why he said don't do it, because he knows that, you know, she'll continue to see that, and like he has no like emotion.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, I'll fucking do it.
He's like, yeah, I'm already a lost cause. Like, I'll do it. Like, and I think I think Lamb hinted to the fact that, like, the reason why he's at Slough House is, it's like the first or second episode after, like, River goes on the Lamb. He, like, is telling everybody, he's like, you don't blow another Joe's cover.
Yeah.
And then he, like, looks directly at that dude, and he's like, yells it in his face. And I'm like, I bet that dude was being tortured and, like, ratted somebody out, and that's why he's at Slough House. I don't know, but it's hard to imagine that guy fucking up. Yeah.
You don't know. You don't mow another guy's lawn from Kingpin.
Yeah, yeah. She said handsome, not handless. We need to do a podcast episode about Kingpin. That movie. But
we can miss the Mystery Science Theater, that one.
Yeah, definitely.
You and I watch it.
Yeah, Snow Horses was good. Thank God there's two seasons a year. I think we'll get the next season in like January or February, maybe. So yeah. Looking forward to that. But yeah, good overall. I mean, Gary Oldman, I mean, just give him his Emmy. I mean, the guy crushes it every season. So
yeah, and last one is The Penguin, Woo! which we're now, episode 4 came out Sunday, October 13th.
Yep.
You and I are both through episodes 1 through 3.
Yep.
What is your take on it so far?
I did not expect to like this show as much as I do. Colin Farrell. Yeah. I lose him in makeup and the costuming and the act, you know, his accent and everything is amazing. He's a Bronx guy living in Gotham. Like, he's amazing. And the whole backstory of, you know, that this is a Batman villain. And we're talking about a serious show on HBO, which is probably going to win some Emmys. Like, this is amazing.
If it wasn't called The Penguin, I wouldn't even know it was like, like a Batman world. I mean, that besides you hear Arkham and Gotham and like
and the Riddler names, like once,
the Riddler is bombing Gotham and all that. I guess, but
yeah. Have you seen the movie The Batman with Twilight, Robert Pattinson? Yeah, so Marcus just watched it like a week ago. So that movie ends with the flooding that takes place in like episode 2 or 3. So this show picks up like a week later from the movie.
Oh shit. Okay.
And then the second movie is going to take place like a week after this season ends.
No so kidding.
Expect the Penguin to be in the next movie, but, dude, Colin Farrell, what's today? I'm going to butcher it. Christy Milani. As the Falcone sister, Sophia
Falcone.
She has got the crazy eyes, but is so good in it.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. I did not expect to like it as much as I do, but I look forward every Sunday to watching it. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, the show is really good. Yeah, Kristen Milioti is amazing as Sophia Falcone. Colin Farrell is amazing as the Penguin. I mean, we were walking around the office today going like, you got a lot of, a lot of gumption, kid. You know, I'm going to pay you $1,000 a week, gabagoo, you know. So like, we just want to do everything in Colin Farrell's version of the Penguin. And Mike was walking like the Penguin today at work too, with his ankle problems. But
blew my ankles out every 3 mile walk. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I don't have a big history with graphic novels, comic books. That I've really gotten into some of the shows recently that are based on like The Boys, obviously, and then. I mean, I watched the Michael Keaton Batman, but I got to watch the Batman with Robert Pattinson because, this story is good. And if it's going to go with another movie, that'll be nice. But, it's good stuff. And I really look forward to
it. It doesn't take on the hyperbolic, like, characterization of the Penguin, like, Danny DeVito playing the Penguin, which is probably the all-time greatest Penguin in the Batman verse in Batman Returns, with Keaton, also directed by Tim Burton. But you know, he doesn't have the top hat, he doesn't have the monocle. Yeah, this is like gritty, like underworld. Like, before he's the shit. Like, people call him the Penguin as a joke, and then he embraces it in his like career. It's so good. What's your take on his like little sidekick?
It's interesting, like, I think I liked him so far, and I like, with him having the stuttering when he's nervous, that kind of tick, maybe like Tourette's stuttering kind of tick.
Yeah.
I think it's, I think in episode 3 we got a little more of his backstory. Not too much, but we met his family and like it really was great in episode three because, you know, the Penguin was like, your dad would be proud. And, you know, and then later on in the episode, he's like, my dad would be, you know, fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Would not agree with what we're doing, you know, but it's kind of, I think they have a good back and forth. It was really crazy how he came in at the end of episode three and just, you know, rammed the Maserati into like the people about the rival game.
Yeah.
You know, he was so close to the
Baronis.
Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. Man.
Yeah. He's about to take off with his girl and live happily ever after in California. And then he's like, nope, I'm going to just like run a guy over. And then this is my life now.
And now I'm a murderer.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting because a lot of I don't know if he's going to stay on the, you know, the Penguin side. It's the bad side in the Batman world, but or if he you know becomes a good guy, because a lot of his character like background is based off of like Batman's sidekick, like his second Robin, who becomes the Red Hood. So he could become a good guy. I don't know which way it's going to go. I mean, he's got a good heart underneath a lot of this stuff, but it'll be interesting how they play it. I did not expect him to have like the sidekick whole story, but the kid playing Vic is doing a pretty good job. He's got the stutter. I like the stutter.
I mean, you know, you can also be a gangster with a heart of gold.
True that.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like a hooker with a heart of gold.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they've really shown it yet, but so in the movie, Falcone is played by like the head of the family is John Turturro. And so they recast him for the show because Turturro wasn't available for, I'm guessing, Severance.
And the show that's taken 17 years for season two.
Dude, no joke. Oh my gosh. And so they recast him with Mark Strong, who looks almost exactly like him. So it's an interesting recast, but I love the Penguin. Yeah. I could talk about it for hours.
Yeah, we've got to watch episode four and five. Maybe we'll talk about both next week, but I'm really surprised. It's like the Sopranos, but in the Batman universe. And I think we needed something, you know, like this right now on HBO.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see, you know, like the other show that both you and I watched the first episode with after the Penguin, called The Franchise, to see if that improves and if they, you know, how the ratings are after the Penguin, because I think they have a good show, but we'll see how much people are watching, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the franchise.
I haven't seen the numbers for Penguin yet, but
yeah, it's good. The franchise, I guess, comes on after the Penguin. If it does, that's probably a smart move by HBO, but you know, we like Armando Iannucci. He did Veep. He did
Avenue 5.
He also did one of my favorite movies, The Death of Stalin, with Steve Buscemi, who plays Khrushchev. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode. I don't know. I didn't find it all that funny. So I don't know. Like, I don't know which way.
When supposedly
knows, but
supposedly Iannucci didn't write it. He's just like producing this one, where he came. He did all the Veep and Avenue 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like it's missing something so far. And it's only one episode, and it, you know, if you historically look at some of these shows, pilots, like even Succession's pilot was kind of trash. But we'll see. I need to watch episode two that came out yesterday and see how it goes from there. Because I think with his stuff, like, I remember watching Avenue 5 and like watching the first season and going, that was pretty good. And then I rewatched it and I'm like, okay. And then I rewatched it like third time. I was like, oh shit, this is good.
Yeah.
And kind of my experience with his shows is the more you rewatch them, the more you kind of get the smart funniness of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a tough, the franchise is kind of a tough topic because it's like meta Hollywood. So it's like the kind of ins and outs of a comedy about the ins and outs of making a movie and what can go wrong and changing producers and I mean, the first episode they changed the producer, and like the guy funding from the studio is like gets rid of him and
it
brings
in. You know the big wig that comes in that they're all trying to kiss his ass, right? You know he's from Ozark.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy who helps Wendy, like get people elected, or he's like a senator or something like that.
He helps him get
the casino license. Yeah, he's from Ozark, but you know, I think for me, I don't know if it's it's an early judgment, but the casting is just so uneven. They're all great in their own respect. I'm not knocking these actors. It's just a weird mishmash of people that they're trying to put together. Daniel Brühl, who I've never seen in a comedic role like this. And then you got Himesh Patel, I think that's his name, who was from Yesterday, and from Avenue 5, who's hilarious.
And Station 11.
And Station 11, yeah. And then, you know, some of these other people, it's such a weird mix of different style actors. So, I don't know. We'll keep watching, but I don't have high hopes for it at the moment.
Yeah. But yeah,
that just came out like October 6th, so that's pretty fresh.
Yeah. And Billy Magnuson, Magnuson's in there.
Yeah, and he's funny in other things. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's definitely room to grow, and hopefully it does.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to try to keep watching it, but
yeah,
if
it's not there,
for the next ones are not good, then, we'll give up on it, but.
Yep. And then anything else? I mean, we got some shows coming up soon. Is there anything else you want to cover before?
No, I think we just kind of briefly touched on, what we're watching and what look, and then I think we got, a couple of things we're looking forward to with, the next show coming out that we watch is this week with Shrinking season 2.
Yep.
Which was good. Interested to see how season 2 will go.
Yeah. It's light. A light show to watch.
We don't talk about it.
So I'm looking forward to it. Harrison Ford in a comedic role, I'll take that any day.
Yeah, he was good in that. And then Somebody Somewhere, which season 3, which is one of my favorite shows. On HBO, season 1 and 2, I would say it's a light watch if you haven't watched, but it's not light from like emotional kind of standpoint.
Yeah.
But it's funny, and it's a really quality show. Season 3 comes out, I think, October 27th. And then Silo comes out in November.
Yeah.
Silo
the trailer for 2. That just dropped. It looks really good.
And then, of course, Severance in January.
Yep. And Squid Games season 2 is in like 2 months. It's like just before Severance season 2, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Nice. So, and then actually, the one thing that I heard this week is Shogun is getting a second season.
Whoa!
At least like the Shogun universe.
Yeah.
That's
big.
Yes, please.
That will fill the Tokyo Vice void for sure.
I really wish they give another similar style show.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, we got some good shows coming up. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. We'll try to keep up, but appreciate people sticking around. I know it's been a while since we potted, but anything else before we close it out?
No, I think we're just going to try to get back to it on a weekly basis and kind of expand what we're doing with the podcast and try to be more active on the socials. So us there.
We talked about it earlier, but I think one thing that would be great is like throwing reviews up of some of these shows and movies that we're watching, right? Because I've been watching a lot of movies recently, so I'd love to be throwing up some, you know, some stars and, you know,
Yeah.
some descriptions of some movies that I've been watching. So that'll be something people need to watch out for sure. Yeah.
Why Interstellar is the best movie ever made by
Hands
Chuck
down. I mean,
Thurman.
yeah. Hope you got time to read a book, because we could write it. Yeah.
But yeah, nothing else for me, man. It's good to be back doing what we love doing.
That's right, man. No, it's good to be back. Glad you're back in town. We'll definitely get back into a routine on this, and appreciate everybody for kicking with us this week. You know, be sure to check out the all the podcast platforms. Check out the Instagram. Check out the website. You know, and tune in next week, as Cousin likes to say.
Mahalo.